All right, let's dive into Tomb Review Itzel. Shrimp, states' rights, constitutional clashes, the whole shebang. Imagine you're a fisherman trying to make a living, but you get slapped with this massive fee just because you're from out of state. That's Tomb Review Itzel in a nutshell.
Yeah, this case goes way beyond just shrimp. It really gets at the heart of how much power states have, the limits of economic protectionism, and how the Constitution tries to keep things fair in the marketplace.
We've got the original court documents, some legal analyses, even some historical accounts to really get the full picture. And it's wild, like this seemingly local dispute over fishing licenses and docking rules in South Carolina. It blew up into this huge Supreme Court showdown with national implications.
It's 1948 South Carolina. Picture it, right? The state legislature passes some laws all aimed at giving their local shrimping industry, well, a big boost. But their methods, not exactly by the book.
So they wanted to protect their shrimping industry. Sounds reasonable on the surface, right? But then they hit non-resident fishermen with this crazy $2,500 fishing license fee. Residents, they only had to pay $25.
Ouch. Yeah, that's gotta hurt.
Talk about a major financial disadvantage right out of the gate.
And as if that wasn't enough, there's another rule that really throws fuel on the fire. All shrimp boats, didn't matter where they were from or where they were going, had to dock and unload their catch in South Carolina for processing, stamping, the whole nine yards before they could ship out.
Adding insult to injury, right. I mean, it's not just the fee, it's the added time and expense.
This is textbook economic protectionism disguised as resource management.
And what's really interesting, the lawsuit wasn't just from angry fishermen.
Oh, no, not at all.
Who else got pulled into this shrimp net?
A Florida Fish Dealers Association joined the fight. See, South Carolina's docking rule messed up their supply chains, jacked up their costs, shows how one state's laws can have this domino effect across borders, impacting businesses, even whole economies, way beyond their own state lines.
So this legal battle heats up, and the plaintiffs are yelling foul. They say these South Carolina laws are violating two huge constitutional principles, the Privileges and Immunities Clause and the Commerce Clause. Break those down for us. I mean, those sound pretty complex.
Sure. So privileges and immunities, it's basically saying states can't treat people from other states like second-class citizens. It's this constitutional guarantee of fair treatment no matter where you're from.
So no special treatment for locals just because they're local.
Exactly. And then you've got the Commerce Clause, which is all about stopping states from putting up roadblocks that mess with the flow of goods and services across the country. It's the Constitution saying, hey, let's keep this national economy running smoothly.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Now, South Carolina had to have some arguments, right, to justify these laws that seem kind of discriminatory. What was their defense?
Their big argument. They basically said they own the shrimp in their waters. They claimed this ownership gave them the right to favor their own residents over everyone else.
Wait, hold on. Can't a state actually own something like shrimp? It's not like they're fencing off a piece of land.
That's where things get interesting. The Supreme Court wasn't buying this ownership thing, called it a legal fiction, basically a made-up concept. They said states can regulate resources for conservation, like setting fishing limits to prevent overfishing.
Right, makes sense.
But with Toomer, they saw South Carolina's game. This wasn't about conservation. It was about giving their local shrimping industry an unfair advantage.
So they were using conservation as a cover for economic manipulation.
Exactly. And that's where the Commerce Clause comes in. By making all those shrimp boats dock in South Carolina, even if they were just passing through, they were creating this bottleneck.
Kind of like saying, hey, all electric cars passing through, you have to recharge at our charging stations, even if you're just on your way to another state.
You got it. The court saw this docking rule as manipulating interstate commerce to give South Carolina this economic edge. Like they were saying, sure, you can fish here, but you got to play by our rules, which just happened to benefit our businesses the most. Not cool.
So they were kind of trying to pull a fast one, huh? Like
yeah.
Trying to make their protectionist moves look legit.
Right. Trying to fool the Supreme Court, but the justices weren't having it. Unanimous decision. They struck down both the crazy licensing fee and that docking rule, said they violated both the privileges and immunities and commerce clauses. Big win for economic fairness. And a message to other states, you can't just rig the system in your favor.
That's a pretty clear message, all right. This had to have some big implications for how states regulate their industries, right? I mean, it's not every day the Supreme Court comes in and says, nope, you can't do that.
Definitely. Tomer v. Witzel set a precedent. basically drew a line in the sand, said you can't make laws that are clearly discriminatory or protectionist, even if you try to hide behind legal jargon about resource management.
It sent a message.
Absolutely. It had other states taking notice.
Okay. But even though the court was united, I bet there were some interesting discussions going on behind the scenes. Nine legal minds, you know, bound to have different perspectives, even if they agree on the outcome.
For sure. And we've got these really interesting concurring opinions from Justices Frankfurter and Rutledge. Adds another layer to the whole thing.
Concurrences, like legal bonus features, right?
Exactly. Where they can explain their own reasoning, highlight what they think is important.
Love it. Let's unpack them. What kind of insights do they offer?
All right, so Frankfurter, he agreed with the decision, but his reasoning was a little different.
So not totally on board with the whole privileges and immunities thing.
Well, he believed states do have a right to conserve their resources for their citizens. But he said they can't use that power to control commerce outside their own borders. He thought South Carolina was overreaching, trying to dictate how shrimp enters the market in other states.
So manage your own backyard, but don't mess with your neighbor's yards.
That's a good way to put it. He saw that as violating the Commerce Clause. Regulating fishing in your own waters is one thing. Controlling the whole shrimp supply chain across multiple states is another.
Got it. Okay, what about Justice Rutledge? What was his take?
He focused on the intent behind South Carolina's laws. Not just the effect, but the motivation.
So it wasn't just what they did, it was why they did it.
Yeah. He believed those laws weren't just accidentally bad for interstate commerce. They were designed to discriminate, to give South Carolina an advantage by hurting competition from other states. He even called it economic balkanization, like they were trying to isolate themselves, protect their local businesses from the free market.
That's a strong statement. Sounds like he thought they were trying to undermine the whole idea of a national economy.
Right, and that goes against the whole point of the Commerce Clause.
Mm-hmm.
The idea of promoting a national market where things can flow freely between states, breaking down barriers, not putting them up.
So even though they all agreed on the outcome, their reasons highlight different aspects of this whole issue. Like they're each shining a light on a different part of the legal puzzle.
Yeah, I like that. It shows how even in a unanimous decision, there can be these complex legal debates about state power, about how to interpret the Constitution. Even when they reach the same conclusion, they might get there different ways. And those different paths can be really insightful.
It's amazing, you know, a case about shrimp from way back in 1948, but it still feels so relevant today. These issues, economic fairness, states' rights, the Constitution, they never really go away, do they?
Not at all. I mean, the principles from Toomer v. Witzel, they're still guiding courts today as they deal with these disputes about state regulations and interstate commerce. It's like this blueprint for a fair and functional national marketplace.
So what are the big takeaways from Toomer? What should our listeners keep in mind when we see these kinds of cases popping up in the news today?
Well, the first thing is, Toomer is a reminder that states can't just discriminate against people from other states without a really good reason, a solid, justifiable reason.
Right.
The Privileges and Immunities Clause, it's a strong tool to prevent this economic favoritism, make sure everyone has a level playing field.
Like we're all citizens of the U.S. first, no matter what state we live in.
Exactly. It's about national unity, not state rivalries. And the second takeaway. Even when states have legitimate reasons for regulating their resources, like environmental protection or public health, they can't do it in a way that disrupts interstate commerce.
So finding that balance, protecting local interests, but not creating barriers for businesses and people from other states.
Exactly. And finally, Toomer is like a warning against this sneaky protectionism.
Yeah.
It tells us that courts are going to look closely at what states are really trying to do with their laws.
Like saying, don't try to dress up your selfish motives as something noble. We see right through it.
Huh, yeah. Toomer was a wake-up call. It reminded states that economic fairness and a unified national market, these are cornerstones of our country.
So it's not just some old case about shrimp. It's this living legal precedent that's still shaping how we see the relationship between states and the federal government, especially when it comes to the economy.
Couldn't have said it better.
Mm.
And you think about it, we still see echoes of Toomer playing out today in so many ways. States trying to restrict water rights, limit energy exports, even control how data flows across state lines.
It's like history repeating itself. So the next time we hear about a state law that seems to favor local interests, you know, at the expense of the bigger picture, we should all be thinking about Toomer v. Witzel.
Definitely. It reminds us that economic fairness and a free-flowing national economy, Those aren't just ideas, they're principles worth fighting for.
This has been a really eye-opening deep dive into tumors. Any final thoughts for our listeners? Something to think about as they grapple with these complexities of state regulations and interstate commerce.
You know, the big takeaway for me is this. The Constitution isn't just about protecting individuals, it's also about protecting the marketplace itself. Toomer v. Witzel is proof of that. It shows that states can't just manipulate the national economy for their own benefit.
It's about the integrity of the whole system, not just individual shrimpers or businesses.
Right. Imagine if every state just put up economic walls, you know, favored their own interests above all else. We'd have 50 little economic islands instead of a unified, thriving country. It would be chaos.
So Toomer is like a safeguard against that kind of fragmentation. Keeps those protectionist urges in check.
Exactly. It's a reminder that we're all in this together. A healthy national economy needs cooperation, fairness, and open channels of commerce.
Well said. That's a great point to wrap up on. Thanks for joining me on this deep dive into Toomer v. Witzel, a case that's clearly more relevant than ever. It reminds us of the importance of economic fairness, a unified national market, and the power of the Constitution to keep things in balance.
It was my pleasure. Always fascinating to explore these landmark cases and how they've shaped things.
And to our listeners, until next time, keep exploring, keep asking questions, and keep diving deep into the world of law and how it impacts all of us.